That was so unnecessary.
What?
That was so unnecessary. We're in the studio today, and Thomas just asked a really passive-aggressive question.
Was it passive-aggressive?
Yes, it was. It was passive-aggressive. Why don't you tell the people the question you asked me?
I asked how big this studio actually is.
For what purpose? Why do you have that out?
I'm sleepy.
Thomas has this, what app is that?
It's just called Ham Horn. I don't know. It's like a rap air horn app, but it has a few like key sound
effects. It has that siren that it's like the T-Pain. Yeah. The reason Thomas asked how big the studio is because he's making fun of the fact that I'm not very tidy in the studio where we're recording.
I've never cared nor thought about it until the day you said, enough. I think I'm going to clean the studio.
Stop it. Would you stop it?
Why is there 3 bottles of Elmer's glue on the floor?
That's Tom's stuff. That's from the church work day where we found 3 random bottles of Elmer's glue in different places around the church.
Oh, man.
So Thomas asked how big the studio is because he's suggesting that the studio is getting smaller because of the amount of stuff that's in here.
I'm not suggesting anything.
Stop it.
It's a fact. You're acting, I mean, oh, goodness.
What, does anyone listen to this?
No. I'm so sleepy.
Okay. That's not a new thing on the show. Usually,
but it's usually not at 3:15 in the afternoon. I have no excuse.
This show is a yawn fest. Actually, I think 3:15 is a sleepier time than the normal time we record the show.
Yeah, I feel my best when it's like the 5:30 to 8 o'clock a.m. window. I feel great.
Yeah.
I feel great up until, I don't know, most people probably feel this way, 1:45.
Yeah, 2 p.m. That's a tough time to be alive. Especially when one of your best friends is just mashing on you because your space is not that tidy.
Listen, man.
Hey, here's a question that goes out to T, which is, how tense were you until you knew how the Stranger Things season was going to end?
What do you mean?
Like, when you started the season, were you like, oh, mm-hmm, I'm so excited about this? Mm-hmm. Or were you like, I'm so tense, I have to know how this ends right now?
Yes. To both.
Right? Like, that's the only right answer.
I'm chill. This is great. This is cool. It's another season of Stranger Things. Or drop everything. We are watching all of this right now.
So we had there was a few. We watched one episode and then we went to the beach. And that first episode, it's just developmental enough to where you're like, it was okay for us to go to the beach, right? Okay.
You're
introducing new characters, mm-hmm, there, and it's an essential thing.
New haircuts,
new cities in California. There's just enough in that first episode that isn't it's all instrumental to the plot, obviously, but it was enough to where we could watch it and then go to the beach. But then Maddie and I got home after driving 10 hours with our 6-month-old, and instead of doing the right thing and going to sleep, we stayed up till 2 watching. And I mean, we planned. We were like, hey.
Thomas texted me and said, we're not going to sleep till we finish it.
we were like, hey, we're gonna watch this whole thing. We agreed. And then, I mean, at 1 o'clock, we were both like, whoa, okay, this isn't responsible. So we hit pause and got up promptly the next morning and finished it. And well, I think we said we had one episode left on Saturday night and watched it.
My thing about you owning me over the untidiness of the studio is do I treat you that way about your spaces?
What space?
Would it be your office desk that constantly has like four coffee mugs on it that I sometimes clean?
It's a 2x3 foot desk. I promptly asked you, how big do you think this thing is? You said 200 square feet.
The high school room, which is an absolute disaster. I'm
responsible for 40 kids from the ages of 10 to 18. Do you think I'm the one leaving all the Coke cans everywhere? I just got fired from my job for that comment. Is that a Bojangles box over there? What is... I don't even know what all is in this place.
Welcome to Ancient and New. We're going to get on the same page here. Do you have some scriptures you want to share with us?
I feel guilty now.
Oh, man.
Thomas Romans got 8:1.
Thomas.
There's therefore now condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is heresy.
Apparently, Thomas got in trouble when he was on his beach vacation for getting too competitive. And just now, he's already beating himself up because he knows that if Maddie were here, he would have been in trouble again.
My wife takes care of me. She watches out for me. She makes me a better human on all layers.
Where are we actually
going?
She
needs to be with me everywhere. Psalm 109.
Oh.
Hickory Hollow Drive.
Ooh. You gave your old address.
Yeah. For those of you wondering where Tomboy grew up. There's literally 2, 4, 6, 7 words in this that I'm excited about. I mean, I was excited about the whole thing, but
wow. What I heard is you don't like any of the words except for 7 of the words.
We need
Psalm 109.
You said we were coming together. And it still has not felt like we've done such a thing. We took a week off, so there's a lot of fireness. Sorry for the week off. Fiery. Okay, although I was sitting with Rob Logan like over coffee.
Yeah.
When he goes, "Ooh, Ancient New just dropped." And I was like, "What the?"
You were like, "How?"
Last Thursday. And I was
at the beach.
What did he do? No one told me anything.
Thanks for those who supported the show by going ahead and listening to the Water Tower episode last week.
Thank you for those of you who continue to listen even after the debacle that has been. Is that a new Bible?
No, it's just my Message Bible.
Ooh, it's cool.
It is cool.
It's kind of slender. I like it.
I always thought as kind of a chunky boy.
Okay. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. All right.
Verse are we
well I'll just like I can read from the I'm just gonna read through probably verse 4.
Which verse has the 9 words that you actually like in the song?
4.
Okay.
7 words. I like the whole thing, but there's one little bit of this that I'm like, oh man, that's if I had a name tag, that's what I want. So here we go. That's what I'm calling my little segment. If I had a name tag. We don't do that, but that's what I'm doing it. My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent. This is David, by the way. For people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me in with lying tongues. With words of hatred, they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me. But I am a man of prayer. Okay, that's just...
Yeah.
That was where I was like, ooh, all right. If we take nothing out of this today whilst reading the scripture, I like that David recognized himself as a man of prayer. And like, I get that he's not necessarily like, it's not a noun, but that's how I'm taking that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know that he's talking about how like the way I'm going to handle this is I'm going to talk to you about it, which I think is really cool. And he does. He very fervently speaks to the Lord and talks about exactly what he wants the rest of the psalm. Like he's praying to the Lord and praising him. But I took that as like, for me today, like I had the thought of like, what if I nounified that? What if I made that a noun? What if that was like my name tag today? Like if, you know, I'm not going to go introduce myself. That seems kind of pompous, but like, within my heart and within my relationship with the Lord, like, I want to be known as a man of prayer. Like,
yeah,
Thomas, comma, man of prayer. That is who I am. And like, when I was thinking through it, just the idea of like being someone who is constantly in communication with God, being someone who is openly and honestly speaking to him in all circumstances. So when a situation arises that like, I feel fervently, like I need to fervently be in prayer about, it just is secondhand. It's not like, wait, how do I do this? I need to dust this off. What is the wording I need here? It's just normal because I'm constantly doing it. And that I felt big about that today. It felt really encouraging cool. And it felt like, oh man, in my walk with the Lord, this is who I want to be known as.
Yeah. That's cool. I've heard people say before that like that in the original language what he actually says is I am prayer. Which Ooh. Is interesting because you said like
did not look it up.
That if that could be your name tag, that's what you would have. It's like, all right, I'm prayer guy. I'm yeah. Captain Prayer. That is a really, really cool, that's just a really cool thing that like, it would be so second nature to me to turn to the Lord about everything that you might as well call me, Mr. Prayer. I'm prayer boy. It's like, and did you ever watch the show Doug growing up?
Yes.
Quail Man.
Do you know something about me? Is that what you're asking?
No.
Okay.
No. Why?
I used to dress up as Quail Man.
What?
Yeah. A lot.
What?
Yeah.
You used to dress up as Quail Man?
Yeah.
Like you would put a belt, like a belt on your head?
Yeah. Yeah. It was
and like undies over your shorts? Yeah.
That was like my superhero. Like, I still it's at my parents' house. I had a Superman costume. It's still at my parents' house.
Okay.
With like foam abs. It was really cool. But I would wear that and say, nah, I'm Quail Man. Like, which is really cool. I would also just do the straight up Quail Man fit.
Like you're dressed up as Superman, but what you chose is Quail Man.
Yeah. I'll never forget going to Jefferson Middle School to visit my sister Meredith for some reason. She had left something. And some of her friends were like, cool Superman outfit. And I was like, no, I'm Quail Man.
That's so fun. Yeah, it's your superhero alter ego. And my superpower is I just take everything to the unlimited infinite God. Yeah. And I just give all my problems, all my issues, all my questions. I just hand them to him.
Right.
I do it so instinctively that you might as well call me prayer boy. That's what I do. I'm prayer.
I love that.
That's fantastic. I feel like that starts with intentionality before it can get to second nature. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Which means like, I'm going to have to start taking some things to him instead of trying to figure them out.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to muscle them up.
Right.
Like instead of carrying this or trying to offload it myself, I'm going to intentionally just take stuff to the Lord. Otherwise, I'm never going to get to the second nature status of, hey, I'm prayer boy. Hello, my name is prayer.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's cool. Thank you for your encouragement on that.
No, I think that's really cool. I wanted to look at something in Matthew chapter 21. there is, Jesus is in the middle of telling a bunch of different stories and he's in this chapter. You get to a certain point in the Gospel of Matthew and Jesus is just toe to toe with people that hate him the whole time. And he's handing out woes and he's handing out like, hey, you guys have so much backwards and they're like, okay, we want to kill you. And there's just like these conversations that are extremely tense. If you were to see a movie of this, it would be like the music would be at that kind of pitch where you're like, somebody's about to throw a fist, you know? And in the midst of that, he says a really famous thing. He tells a story that these guys know is about them. And it's basically a story about how, God's people reject his leadership and reject the fact that he has sent the Messiah to be the king of everything. And they're like, let's kill him and claim all of this for ourselves. And at the end of telling this story against these guys, he says this.
What verse you got, brother?
I'm in like, it's like around 42-ish, 43. He says, the stone the masons threw out is now the cornerstone. This is God's work. We rub our eyes. We can hardly believe it. That's the message translation of that. Your version probably says, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And the particular thing that Jesus is saying to these guys is, you are rejecting the one that God is setting up as the king of everything, and you're not going to win. But there is a, and it's like specifically for those guys, that is like a, it's kind of a proclamation of doom. It's like the thing that you're trying to get to happen is not going to happen. In fact, the opposite is going to happen and you're going to be displaced. But there is a more global sense of this. And the place that I want to try to apply it, or for us to think about it, is just in any little thing in my life. Jesus's way is going to win out.
Yeah, that's cool.
He's going to win. Everything else is going to get out of the way. Like, he is going to be successful. Everything else is going to be unsuccessful. His version of life is going to wind up being life. Everything else is going to wind up being death. Yeah. Everything that he sets up will stand. Everything that is against what he sets up will fall. Like, there is a, there's a clarifying simplicity to Jesus wins.
Yeah.
And, everything else doesn't win. And I think, like, the thing that I want to do with that in my own life is just to look at different things that I have hope in, different things that I have a desire for, different things that I put energy into, different things that I care about, and ask the question of it, like, is this going to outlast the cornerstone or not?
Yeah.
There's other places where Jesus talks about this cornerstone thing, where he says, like, everybody that falls on this stone will break, but everybody on whom it falls will be crushed to pieces. And it's like, there's nothing and there's no one that comes into contact with Jesus, the cornerstone, that makes it out the same. And the question is, am I willing to be broken by his leadership, by his rule, by his way, by him, or am I going to get ground to pieces, just crushed to pieces? And I just want to have like a little more extreme treatment over the things that I care about in my life. This thing that we have money invested in, this thing that we put time into, this thing that we think is amazing, this thing that we care about, where does it, like, how does it come out on the other side of the cornerstone coming down? It's just, to me, it's just a clarifying question. And when I think about it for my own, like for my kids, I mean, for those of you who are listening, I that don't know it, which I don't know, maybe everybody that listens to this knows this, but like, I have kids that are getting older. Thomas has a 6-month-old, but I have like, I have a kid that's about to go to college. I have a kid that's about to be a junior in high school. I have a kid that's about to be in his last year of middle school. It's the thing that, like, I can tell them this, but they're going to find out for themselves. Like, everything that is of Jesus is going to last. Everything that's not is not going to last.
Yeah.
Because he's the cornerstone. You can't get around it. You can't cheat the system. Like, his way works. His way is life. Everything else won't. Everything else is coming down like a house of cards.
Yeah, and I think I like what you said there, because I think for whatever reason, at least evidence in my life has been that I've had to find it out.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the hard way.
Yeah, and like, you know, there's a lot of things that I could say if I could go back and whatever. There's a reason why I lived the life I did and who I am today because of it, which, yeah. But like, a lot of times I want to go back and do the Billy Madison thing to like, you know, ninth grade Thomas and be like, listen to him.
Don't ever say that. Stay here as long as you can.
No, but like, I want to look at, you know, there are times when I want to go back and just inject things into ninth grade Thomas and say like, hey, just listen, this person's smarter and they've experienced this and they've done that. But like, you know, that's not how it works all the time, but it's just, I don't know, if you're getting older and you've tried and tried and tried and tried again, and you're like, wait, why is this still not working? Why is this still not the thing? Why is, I don't know. Maybe you should hear that and take heed. But like, also, that's not just a, like, this is something that like young people have to learn in their life. Like, I took it to be, there are things on the daily, like you're saying, that we have to figure out, like, okay, is this part of it? Is this what's included? Is this not?
Yeah.
I just read through a lot of the book of Acts and just like an hour ago. I was just enjoying it. And one thing that was really obvious was that nothing was going to stop Paul from doing what the Spirit was telling him to do. He just didn't care. Like, it was just straight up like, hey, I'm feeling led to do this and the Lord has prepped me. I'm going to get beaten and put in chains everywhere I go. But, and you know, there's like one place, I think it's the way I took it to be when he was speaking to the Ephesians, when he was saying like, hey, I'm not going to see you all again. And like, my hands are clean of your blood because I have done everything I can.
Yeah.
I have shared every bit of the gospel I can with you and cried night after night.
Yeah.
Urging you all to get this. And like,
so good.
Yeah. It's just beautiful. But I like, it was the thing I took out of like, I read like, you know, 5 or 6 chapters there. And I was just like, man, nothing was stopping you.
Yeah.
Whatever the Lord wanted you to do, you were just going to do it and not think twice about it. Whatever his will was in your life, you were just going to do it and not think twice about it, which I thought was absolutely awesome. And I think it's a thing that like, I personally want to get better at. If the Lord's saying this, I'm going to do it. Sorry,
go ahead. It's super cool because there's like the negative way to look at this and the positive way. So the negative way would be like, okay, this thing that I care about or put energy or money or time into, is it going to outlast the cornerstone? Well, then maybe I need to put less energy into it and less money into it, less hope in it or less expectation into it or whatever, because, you know, the stone the masons threw out is now the cornerstone because the cornerstone is going to be the measure of everything. But there's also a positive side to this where like, I need to use these words and this truth to keep myself encouraged about the work that I'm doing. So like, so if you have something that you've poured yourself into for the cause of Jesus, and from all worldly evidence, it just was a lead balloon. It just didn't work. Nothing happened. You need to encourage yourself with these words. Like, oh, no. Anything that was for the cornerstone is going to last.
Yeah.
It's going to actually win out. Like, whatever I think the result of this is, I haven't seen the end of it yet. Because, like, when you look at, like, if you look at Jesus's, like, worldly record, it's like, it just doesn't look great.
No.
I mean, it's like,
no.
He, like, never wrote a book, never made any money, never owned any property. The movement that he poured so much energy into, like, it dissolved on his last night, instantaneous. It was like it was like a crocus. It was just gone.
Yeah.
And everybody's just scattered, running away. Like, it would be easy to look at Jesus's work and be like, dude, that was a waste of time.
Mm.
That was a total disaster. And yet, the book of Revelation says those 12 guys' names are going to be carved into pillars in the kingdom of heaven, like the foundation stones. It's like, oh no, it's just, you just haven't seen how the cornerstone sets everything up at the end yet. Yeah. Whatever I've poured myself into that looks like a failure or feels like it wasn't for anything, the story is not over yet. That's not written yet. The cornerstone will out. Yeah. And so there are times when I need to look at, when I need to think about this cornerstone thing and think like, do I need to pour in energy and hope into this? No, I don't, because it's not part of it. There's other times when I need to look at something that looks like an abject failure or an abject discouragement and say, do I need to be discouraged about this? No, I don't, because I gave my heart to the cornerstone.
Right.
And when all the dust settles, he is going to turn this into something crazy. I can't even imagine what it's going to be, but it's going to be amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else to say.
I mean, if I can get my brain to that place, that would be awesome.
Yes.
Like, if I decide I'm going to clean up this office, this studio, because of the work of Jesus.
Don't clean the studio. Look, I think I've talked about this on here before. Everybody has their space. They just have a space where, and like someone out there's like, I don't. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. You don't, maybe everybody doesn't apply to you. But I think most people have a space where they're like, yeah, I just let this be what it is.
I was sitting with a high school guy last week and talking to him about how, I was like, do you think you're going to be, he's about to go to college. I was like, do you think you're going to be a good roommate? And he was like, yeah, I'm going to be a good roommate. And I was like, are you like really neat and tidy and all that stuff? And he was like, we'll see. In that pause, I was like, bro. Ooh. And he was like, well, here's the thing. I've never had a roommate before, so I've never had a reason, because I don't personally care. But if I have a roommate, then that person will probably care. And so therefore I will keep it clean.
Or you both won't care and it's just going to be.
And I was like, I don't think that's the way keeping things clean works, is like all of a sudden you start caring about what somebody else thinks.
Yeah.
After 18 years of, oh, it's gonna be tough.
Yeah,
it's gonna be rough, folks. Thanks for joining us. Sorry we missed last week. Hope you have a wonderful wonderful June weekend. I am Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been a very tidy Ancient and New.
Has it?
When I needed rescue out of deep water, when I called out to you after running farther, there you were. You're in front of me, you're behind me. No matter how far I fall, you're underneath. You wanted me, you chased after me. Thank you. change.